In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website's aisleseat.com. I went there last night and looked up his review for Spider-Man, so I already know where we're headed here. He's a staff writer for Ranker. He's a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association and the Online Film Critics Society.
Good morning.
Welcome aboard, sir. Thank you so much for coming in. Well, let's do Spider-Man Far From Home.
Imagine having to walk on stage and play the cello right after Yo-Yo Ma has performed. That's what it's like for Spider-Man Far From Home to come out a mere 2 months after Avengers Endgame. Once you can get that 400-pound gorilla out of your mind, it becomes clear that this is a very good Marvel picture with some fresh ideas. Tom Holland returns as Peter Parker, who just wants to enjoy his high school trip to Europe. Spider-Man business is calling, though. He has to deal with Jake Gyllenhaal's Mysterio, a guy who uses so-called illusion technology to carry out his plan, which I won't spoil here. Far From Home effectively dramatizes Peter's dilemma. On one hand, he just wants to be a normal teenager, hang with his buddies, and maybe get a girlfriend. On the other hand, he has a responsibility to be an Avenger and to protect the world from various threats. The movie creates both comedy and drama with that scenario. Holland is again terrific as Peter, but the scene stealer this time is Gyllenhaal, who plays Mysterio with a wicked sense of humor, instantly making him the best big screen Spidey villain so far. Far From Home additionally has some visually striking action sequences in which Mysterio uses his illusory powers over Spider-Man. You'd think these Marvel movies would be running out of steam by now, but they aren't. This one's another winner. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 Green Goblins.
Alrighty. Not... Well, Spider-Man, there's a suspension of disbelief that goes with that in the first place, but it's kind of like reality-based. But we're not jumping the ship here with all these add-ons.
No, I don't think so. It's a really good movie, and it nicely combines the human element, you know, Peter Parker wanting to be a normal teenager and confess his feelings to the girl he likes, and all of that, with the more fantastic superhero stuff. So I think there's a really nice balance there. And what's interesting about this movie is that it holds its cards close to the vest for the first hour. I was watching it, and I was thinking, I don't quite see where this is going. There's not an obvious villain. These action scenes are good, but we've kind of seen stuff like that before. And then about an hour in, they drop the twist of the film, and then you realize that the first hour has been setting all of this stuff up that they're going to pay off in the second hour. So it ends up being really kind of surprising and strong and then very inventive in the second hour as Mysterio does his thing. And I should probably add, this is one of those cases where if you're going to see it, I would absolutely recommend paying the extra couple of bucks for 3D, because when Mysterio does his illusion tricks, they really take advantage of the extra dimension there, and it looks amazing.
All right, so 3D is recommended there, which is a little unusual coming from you. You often feel as though the flat screen's satisfactory, especially for a movie that's pretty darn good otherwise. All right, so what would have made it a 4? Sounds like you give out 4s for, you know, these good fantasy comic book type films sometimes.
I like them. I mean, Avengers Endgame I gave 4 stars to. That's been the only Marvel movie that I've given that rating. You know, I say this all the time. I kind of want 4 stars to mean something when I give it. So if a movie is really, really good and I like it, I'll give it 3.5. If something absolutely blows me away and I really want to convey to you how urgently I think you should see this film, then I'll give it 4. So I think this is a really fun movie, great entertainment. People are going to love it.
And no detraction that first hour that didn't have quite the pace that you might want. That's not a big dilemma.
No, because once you see why they're doing it that way, it all makes sense. And it's actually very rewarding.
All right. Other characters? Jake Gyllenhaal. And, of course, who's Spidey?
Tom Holland.
Okay. Who else is in this one?
Marissa Tomei is back as Aunt May. Jon Favreau is back as Happy. Samuel Jackson plays Nick Fury again in a supporting role. And he comes in and has some fun scenes.
All right, and the girl that's the love interest?
Yes, MJ. They call Mary Jane in the comics, but they call her MJ here, played by the actress Zendaya, who's a very talented young actress, came out of the Disney Channel, went on to appear in this, The Greatest Showman, has a new show on HBO called Euphoria that's getting a lot of raves. So she's really making a transition there from being a teen star to being a full-fledged, more grown-up movie star.
All right, and she is she has special powers, I guess, or something?
She's just very smart.
Oh, okay.
Well. She sees sees through a lot of the things that Peter Parker is doing. So, oh.
like women seem to.
Yes.
Okay, fabulous. All right. So we got 3.5?
Green Goblins.
Green Goblins, named after what? The Green...
Another former Spider-Man nemesis.
Nemesis. Okay, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. See, I think I'm behind in my Spideys. So, all right. You talked about Mad Magazine ceasing publication. The connection to the film industry, how so? I mean, certainly some parody filmmakers probably enjoyed Mad Magazine.
Well, absolutely. Mad Magazine began in 1952, and they announced this week that they're going to stop publishing original content. They're going to focus instead on reprints, which means vintage pieces and new covers for the magazines. This is sad because a lot of people, myself included, grew up reading Mad Magazine, and it really informed our sense of humor. And that's certainly true of Hollywood. A lot of the great comedy filmmakers of our time were dedicated Mad readers growing up. And so the humor that they present us today was influenced by this magazine. So the fact that it will no longer be around to influence people is kind of sad. But a sort of lost footnote between Mad Magazine and the movies is back in the very early 80s, I believe it was 80 or 81, Mad Magazine decided to get into the movie business, and they released a film called Mad Magazine Presents Up the Academy. And the film was intended to be very much in the spirit of Mad Magazine. There were some issues with the studio. The film ended up getting hacked, hacked apart, and really turned into a horrible, horrible film. Mad Magazine eventually took their name off of it. They were so embarrassed to be associated with it. And that's sort of one of those lost, forgotten films of the 80s. But I watched it again a few years ago, and boy, is it ever terrible. And I can certainly understand why Mad Magazine wanted to distance itself from it. But, getting back to the main issue, it is sad that Mad Magazine will no longer be publishing any new content.
Well, how groundbreaking was Mad Magazine at the time? I'm thinking somebody who's parodying government in 1952?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Government, pop culture, things going on in society. I mean, I think we all know stories. Maybe some of our listeners even were these kids where their parents were outraged that they were reading it. They had to hide it because their parents would rip it up. It was very subversive humor. Put a lot of ideas into kids' heads, but not necessarily bad ideas, but just got them to think about certain things socially, culturally.
I think my parents bought me Mad Magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine did too. I was a very dedicated reader.
I tried to pick something up from it. Okay, so we will still see, if you went to a newsstand, I don't know who in the world's doing that, but if you went to a newsstand, you'd still find a Mad Magazine there, but it not necessarily full of new content.
Well, it won't be on newsstands. It's going to be through direct marketing only. And it, like I said, it'll just be new covers, and then on the inside it'll be vintage pieces just republished.
Okay.
So, yeah, kind of sad there.
All right. So the end of Mad Magazine. Boy, that is the end of an era for sure. I am aware of what you're talking about here. You talked about the Little Mermaid remake that has Halle Bailey, a young African-American actress, ultra-talented, as near as every account seems to say, is going to play Ariel.
Correct.
Who typically has been a white woman.
Yes, Disney, of course, doing all these live-action remakes of their animated classics, and they announced that not Halle Berry. People online got confused and thought it was Halle Berry. Halle Berry is not playing the Little Mermaid. Her name is Halle Bailey, but it was announced that she would take on the role of Ariel, and she's a very talented, for people who don't know, she's a talented teen pop singer. And has a reputation. Your kids probably know her if you do not. But she is African-American, and a lot of racist people went online and immediately started raising a fuss, saying this was ruining their childhood, that this is Disney trying to shove some kind of diversity message down America's throat.
Or an agenda. Yeah.
Or an agenda, yeah. To me, that's all stupid. She's talented. I think it's just a fun, fresh, original idea. It's not what we expect, and I'm always in favor of movies giving us something that's different, especially Disney, because they don't take a lot of chances with these live-action remakes. So I applaud the casting. I'm excited to see how she pulls it off. But, yeah, a lot of racist people are kind of upset about it.
Okay. And I saw some of the comments. We put this on our Facebook page today just to see what people would say. People say, well, this story derives from a Danish folktale, and therefore everybody should be white in it.
I mean, it's fictional. Mermaids don't exist, so who cares what color she is. I don't understand the thinking. Except I know a lot of people are
Right. Well, they want
a little closed-minded, we'll say.
People like things to be the way they were for them. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a bit of a stir-up as it relates to Little Mermaid. Have you tweeted about this yet? I'll have to go back.
I have, yes.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that as that continues to come out. Finally, Artie Johnson died, which if folks liked Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, you'll know who he was.
Absolutely. Artie Johnson, one of the big stars of that show, died at the age of 90 from heart failure after a three-year battle with bladder and prostate cancer. Of course, he was known for playing Wolfgang, the German stormtrooper who had one of the show's most popular catchphrases. Very interesting. he played the dirty old man opposite Ruth Buzzy. And, of course, he was the guy in the yellow raincoat who kept falling off a tricycle. I watched Laugh-In as a very young kid in the early 70s, and Artie Johnson always made me laugh. He was an incredibly talented guy, and he lived a nice long life till 90, but it is sad that he is no longer with us.
Absolutely. What are the Laugh-Ins of today? We talked about Mad Magazine informing young people as it relates to sort of offbeat humor, and Laugh-In was kind of frowned upon by some folks. What's the comedy of today that fills that role, that really keeps maybe young people thinking or people thinking?
I would say probably it's online. It's probably a website like The Onion, which does a lot of satire. You know, the problem is you have something like Saturday Night Live, which after 40-some years started off as a countercultural thing and has now become the establishment. Saturday Night Live can never be anything but the establishment after its many years in success. And nothing else on TV is really doing what Laugh-In did or anything approximating that in our modern era. So I would say probably The Onion, which has a lot of very fresh satire, a lot of stinging political stuff, and just really kind of takes a look at all the issues of today in a satiric lens and gets you thinking and laughing at the same time.
All right. Well, to be continued. Thank you for that answer and for thinking about this. Thank you for your review. 3.5
Green Goblins.
Goblins, right.
Yep.
Okay, for Spider-Man Far From Home. Movie Mike McGranahan. His appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater. CampusTheater.org.